playing YMCA ball. They just don't really seem to care too much. And that's a lot of what we saw last night. Getting a lot of those rotational bench guys more minutes, like the Peyton Pritchards, like the Sam Hausers, Luke Kornet, guys like that. But all in all, the Milwaukee Bucks took care of business. But in the second half, you did have a scary moment. Giannis Antetokounmpo goes down on his way up the court, and it was one of those weird injuries where nobody touched him, non-contact injury. He just went down on the floor after walking up there, jogging up the court. Originally, a lot of people speculated, oh no, it looks like his Achilles popped. Right now, that does not look like the case. He was helped by his teammates to the locker room, and then about 15 minutes after he was helped to the locker room, the report from Shams Charania of The Athletic came out that Antetokounmpo would not return. They called it a calf strain. He's going to undergo an MRI today on that left calf. But right now, don't really have a timetable for his return to play. But it obviously looked serious. He was down on the ground. A weird situation. Basically, the whole entire Pfizer Forum, I was watching last night, the whole entire Pfizer Forum over there in Milwaukee just went silent, like they had just seen a ghost. It just went. I had never seen a building packed with so many fans just go completely silent. Doc Rivers commented on the level of concern for Antetokounmpo's injury. He said, "That's a good question. The concern is high, but he's Giannis. I think everyone probably feels the same way as I do right now. We're just going to hope for the best." As I mentioned, right now, the Milwaukee Bucks sit in second place in the Eastern Conference, helped out by a big win last night against the Celtics, where they won 104-91. Obviously, Giannis leaves that game, but Damian Lillard also struggled here, helped by a group effort from guys like Bobby Portis off the bench, Chris Middleton back in action and missed some time, Pat Beverly with a double-double in this one, who has been integrated into the starting lineup. No Malik Beasley. It looks like Pat Beverly will be the backcourt mate of Damian Lillard for the postseason. Obviously, provides some spark defensively, but a well-rounded attack last night for the Milwaukee Bucks, beating the Celtics 104-91, as I mentioned on yesterday's show. Joe Mazzulla opted to bench both Al Horford and Kristaps Porzingis for this game. So we saw Xavier Tillman get the go for the Boston Celtics. Everyone for the Seas kind of playing some light minutes. And a very interesting game. A meaningless game for the Boston Celtics, but a game where they made history. The Celtics last night became the first team in NBA history to attempt zero free throws in a game. In fact, the Milwaukee Bucks only attempted two free throws in this game. The Celtics and Bucks combined for just two free throw attempts. That is the fewest ever in an NBA game. The previous record was 11. So either they just really were playing it as if it was kind of the all-star game where no one was really playing hard-nosed defense, or the referees there just were not blowing the whistle. And that was the case. There was one play I watched where Giannis got away with a quote-unquote, I'm doing air quotes here in the studio, clean foul, clean block. Where he just got all of Xavier Tillman's arm, and they did not call a foul at all there. So it was a little mix of, yeah, there wasn't much hard-nosed defense, as well as, yeah, the refs were just kind of letting him play. It was like the WNBA tournament. The women's college basketball tournament, where they were just letting him play. But the Milwaukee Bucks and Celtics made history last night in Milwaukee, and I'll keep you updated on that Giannis injury. Of course, that is huge for a playoff team in the Eastern Conference. Out west, we saw Anthony Edwards score a career-high 51 points in a 21-point comeback last night against the Washington Wizards. Minnesota and the Denver Nuggets tied up at the top of the Western Conference. This would have been a tough game to lose for Minnesota going up against a very weak team in the Wizards. Edwards had 30 points in the second half to help get a 130-121 victory over the Washington Wizards last night. And on top of that, sources say that Karl Anthony Towns could return as soon as this weekend. He has been out since March 4th after he underwent a surgery for a meniscus tear in his left knee. That was about 4 weeks ago. And now there's the possibility that he could return as soon as this weekend and be ready to go for Minnesota in the playoffs. Of course, that would be huge for them as they have their eyes on the Denver Nuggets. And the focal point over there is their big man, of course, Nikola Jokic. In fact, those two teams will be meeting up tonight on ESPN. I'll have that as a part of my parlay. And we saw two very varying messages from the team's superstars. Ahead of their contest tonight, Anthony Edwards and Nikola Jokic were asked about the importance of this game between Denver and Minnesota, as both of those teams sit at 55-24, tied for the top spot in the Western Conference. And again, kind of varying opinions. Anthony Edwards says, "I think everyone knows what's at stake. I don't even need to talk about how big it is. Everybody already knows." Meanwhile, Nikola Jokic said, "I don't think it's really a big game. Yes, we're going to go out there and play to win the game, but I think people are just making their stories that it's a big game." So you have Anthony Edwards saying, "Yeah, this is huge." And meanwhile, you have Nikola Jokic saying, yeah, whatever. Just another game. That's kind of been Nikola Jokic's MO, just a laid-back guy throughout his whole career. Meanwhile, in the Western Conference from another playoff team, Domantas Sabonis, the Sacramento Kings center, saw a big streak of his come to an end. He had a 61-game double-double streak. That was the seventh longest streak for double-doubles in NBA history. Last night, he only registered 8 points in a loss to Oklahoma City. He did have 13 rebounds, but his streak of consecutive double-doubles comes to an end at 61. That still is pretty impressive, but a tough loss last night for Sacramento up against OKC. Headed back to an Eastern Conference team. Sources say that the Hawks' Trae Young could return as soon as tonight. He is questionable for the game tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. Young has been sidelined since a surgery to repair a torn ligament in his finger on February 27th. He resumed practice this week. The Hawks have clinched a play-in spot, and they could be getting their all-star back. He was averaging around 26 points per game on over 10 assists. DeJounte Murray has done a great job in his absence, kind of handling that workload and keeping Atlanta afloat while Trae Young has been out. But Trae Young could be back as early as tonight. Good news for the Atlanta Hawks, as they're going to have an uphill battle trying to get into the actual playoffs as they enter the play-in tournament. Actually, last night, when looking at the playoffs, the play-in tournament, all that situations, I did put together a little rough draft of what I thought my playoff scenario would look like, my NBA playoff bracket would look like. I don't think anybody will be too shocked at who comes out of the Eastern Conference. I don't think anybody will be too shocked about who comes out of the Western Conference in my predictions. But I'll get to that when the season finally wraps up. I got some hot takes here. I got some hot takes, especially with that play-in tournament out west. That's going to be a very, very, very crazy play-in tournament. I have the Los Angeles Lakers coming out and grabbing that 8th spot. We'll have to see, though. That's why they play the game. Some teams with a pretty tough schedule, and when I say that, I'm looking at a team like the Lakers. They have a tough schedule. And the Milwaukee Bucks, worth noting for the Lakers, Anthony Davis, who has been praised all year this year for being durable and actually being able to play this season and being healthy. Last night, he missed the game because he had a headache. That was the official reason listed by Yahoo's Chris Haynes. He had a headache, and that's why he missed the game. A very important game, I will add, against Golden State. So maybe Anthony Davis not quite as durable as maybe we thought after watching this season. Because last night, you know, isn't there Advil? You don't keep Advil in the locker rooms? I don't know. That seems like a quick fix. Like, lay down in a dark room for a little while, get hydrated. Maybe missed the first quarter, but the whole game? You had a headache that lasted you that whole game? I don't know, man. That seems a little crazy. Keeping you updated on these playoff races across the league. As I mentioned, Milwaukee clinging to that second place spot in the Eastern Conference. They have a tough road ahead. 3 games left, 2 against the Orlando Magic, who are right behind them, and 1 against the OKC Thunder. On top of that, they'll have a tough little back-to-back in that stretch as well. But Milwaukee, sits number two in the Eastern Conference. New York is number three. They're just a game behind Milwaukee. Meanwhile, Orlando and Cleveland sit 4-5 with the same record. They're a game behind New York and two games behind the Milwaukee Bucks for second place. And rounding out that top six, Indiana comes in 16.5 games out of first, but they're just a half game behind Cleveland and Orlando for those 4-5 spots, and a game and a half behind New York for the 3 seed. Your play-in tournament, Philadelphia, who has rattled off 6 straight wins. They're in the 7th seed right now, but watch out, Indiana. Philly is just a game out from Indiana from grabbing that 6th spot and avoiding the play-in tournament. Miami sits 8th. They're just a half game behind Philadelphia for the 7th spot and a game and a half behind Indiana for that 6th spot. Miami with a big game against Dallas tonight. As I mentioned before, your play-in teams remain the same. Chicago and Atlanta, a game apart from one another. They will be your 9-10 seeds. We just don't know which order they'll be in as of right now. Out west, as I mentioned, Minnesota and Denver tied for that one spot. Minnesota owns the tiebreaker. OKC sits one game out. After that, the Los Angeles Clippers, who have clinched their division, sit number four. Dallas in fifth. They have also clinched a playoff berth. They are 2 games out from the Clippers for fourth place. And that's when it gets a little tight here. At that number 6 seed, your 6 seed would be the New Orleans Pelicans, but they are just 1 game up on Phoenix. Phoenix would be number 7. Number 8 would be Sacramento. Sacramento is just 1 game behind Phoenix, 2 games behind New Orleans. Your 9 seed would be the Lakers. The Lakers are just a half game behind Sacramento and a game and a half behind Phoenix. And finally, Golden State, a big win last night against the Lakers, sit just a half game behind the Lakers. That would be the home court advantage. So whoever finishes 9 there between the Lakers and Golden State, they get home court advantage in that play-in game. So that is actually pretty huge. It's going to come down to it. Only about 2 or 3 games left for each of these teams. And we have a lot of tight races across the NBA. Keeping you updated with some college ball. Obviously, the NCAA tournaments have wrapped up. But for the first time ever, the women's NCAA tournament championship game had more viewers than the men's. The women's final had 18.9 viewers. The men's final had 14.8 viewers. Women's finals absolutely crushed the men. The Caitlin Clark effect, and on top of that, that Caitlin Clark effect is stemming into the WNBA as well. The Indiana Fever, as I mentioned on yesterday's show, they own the number 1 overall pick this year in the WNBA draft. Obviously, that will end up being Caitlin Clark. Last year, the Indiana Fever had just 1 nationally televised game. This season, 36 out of their 40 games will be nationally televised this year. A few on ESPN, some CBS, and Amazon Prime actually gets one as well. But 36 out of 40 of their games will be nationally televised, when last year just 1 was nationally televised. Pretty crazy. That is the Caitlin Clark effect in full swing. With that being said, I'm going to hit a break here. Going to come back and we're going to talk some MLB. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Big Ticket on 101.1 FM and AM 1540.
At The O'Brien's Pub, it's always about good food, good friends, good times. It's no accident that The O'Brien's has been named in Rhode Island Monthly's Best of Newport County as the best neighborhood bar in 2000, 2001, 2022, and 23. Their menu accommodates all ages and appetites, and their fireplace adds warmth and comfort in these colder months. The O'Brien's Pub, 501 Thames, Newport. Follow them on Instagram.
Experience Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses' exciting new outdoor collection. Gas fire pits, 5-piece pub sets, and comfortable sitting and dining furniture. Cardi's has your choice of furniture made from recycled plastics. It's strong, durable, and made to withstand all weather conditions. Save big on outdoor furniture with no money down, no minimum purchase, no interest financing. Shop Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses, Swansea, South Attleboro, Route 2 West Warwick, South County Commons, mattress locations, and Cardi's.com. We'll be right back. Fill your room with Lazy Boy's new sectional at Cardi's, the brand you trust since 1928.
American-made, modular, expandable, and movable anywhere.
Upholstered in beautiful, eye-clean fabric colors.
Get Nairobi's next-day eye delivery. We deliver, you enjoy.
No assembly required.
Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses.
Here's a Nairobi shout-out for Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
Donate new and clean used clothing at all Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses in Rhode Island State Police Barracks.
Details at Cardi's.com.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
Call 800-989-1647. 800-989-1647. 800-989-1647. That's 800-989-1647.
With all of the stress in the world, the last thing you need to worry about is what to do after a car accident. That's why you call Carl's Collision Center. We have two convenient locations in Newport and Fall River and make the whole process easy. When you choose Carl's Collision, you can trust your vehicle is in the right hands. Our technicians are trained by many of the manufacturers with certifications from Mercedes-Benz, Tesla, Ford, and many others. Carl's Collision Center is building it new all over again. Visit us at carlscollision.com.
In this festive time of year, you know that Seth and the crew will come through with a vast array of timely values at Fifth Ward Liquor. Stop by and see for yourself. Discover Bailey's Irish Cream at $27.99, Jameson 750s at $35.99, and Powers Irish Rye 175s at $39.99. Fifth Ward's stocked with the finest in Irish whiskeys. Proper 12 Irish whiskey is $29.99. Green Spot's in stock, as is Middleton Very Rare and Jameson 18 Year. And here's another great value, Jameson Orange Spritz in four packs, just $13.99. You know you can depend on Fifth Ward Liquor for their tried and true trio, selection, service, and savings. Fifth Ward Liquor, 695 Lois Thames, 847-4545.
The fun starts quicker with Fifth Ward Liquor. You better take the fifth.
Join Chase Robertson and Peggy Tuck of Straight Talk Money on WADK 1540 AM, 101.1 FM, and WADK.com Monday through Friday at noon.
All right, back here on the Big Ticket. Talking a little MLB. The big news across baseball as the Baltimore Orioles have officially called up the number one prospect in baseball, infielder Jackson Holliday, son of Matt Holliday. It has become official. There was a lot of Baltimore Orioles fans that were annoyed that he didn't make the opening day roster. Well, about 10 games in, he finally gets the nod. He has been moved up from AAA. That AAA team for Baltimore, we talked about them a little bit last week. They were just raking. Like, their top four in their order all were batting above 300. Jackson Holliday in his AAA, 10 games in his AAA career here, he was 14 for 42. That is a 333 batting average, two home runs, two doubles, 12 walks, 18 total runs scored, and a 1.077 OPS. Not bad stats. And Jackson Holliday coming up. He will be starting at second base tonight against the Sox and batting ninth in their order. So kind of making them earn it. Worth noting, shout out Buster Olney. Buster Olney, longtime ESPN MLB reporter. Back on November 14th, 2013, that is over a decade ago, Jackson Holiday was 9 at the time. And Buster only tweeted, Matt Holiday's son, Jackson, is a future all-star. At the time, Jackson Holiday was 9 years old. My man Buster Olney knows ball. On top of that, pretty funny, the trio now being dubbed the Jackson 3 are the youngest players in the major leagues right now. There are three players born in 2003 or later. Jackson Holiday, who just got called up. Jackson Chirio of the Milwaukee Brewers, their top prospect. And Jackson Merrell of the San Diego Padres, who also is in his rookie season and also their top prospect. Three Jacksons with three bright futures ahead of them, all now in the MLB and all born in 2003 or later. If that doesn't make you feel old, I don't know what will. I don't know what will. So shout out Jackson Holiday. Wishing you the best, but hopefully not tonight or tomorrow night against the Boston Red Sox. I hope you go like 0-7 to start your career. And then after that, you could play well. After that, you could play well. Speaking of the Red Sox, more Red Sox updates here. I had a lot of bad news about the Sox yesterday, so I'm going to hit you with some good news here today. Vaughn Grisham, who the Red Sox acquired via trade with the Atlanta Braves in the offseason. That was that trade that sent Chris Sale over to the Braves. Well, Vaughn Grisham will be starting a rehab assignment this week. He will be primarily playing second base when he returns, but Alex Cora noted that he will be getting some reps over at shortstop now that Trevor Story will miss the rest of the season. He was on the shelf to start the year with a groin and hamstring injury, but he's set to start a rehab assignment, and he should be with the Sox in the next few weeks. More reinforcements for the Red Sox. Rob Refsnyder has started a rehab assignment. Outfielder, for a team that's kind of shorthanded with right-handed bats, he'll be a much-needed piece against lefties, right-handed bat in that lineup. So Refsnyder getting to start a rehab assignment, and he, as well as Vaughn Grisham, will likely be back in the next few weeks or so. We talked a little bit about elbow injuries. Framber Valdez, the Houston Astros left-handed ace, was one of those guys dealing with an elbow injury. Well, he has officially been placed on the 15-day injured list. Coming from their manager, he said he's going to need some time to recover. We'll watch the inflammation to see how quickly that goes down. Hopefully, it could just be maybe two starts and we'll get him back on the mound. So from that language, it looks like Framber Valdez did avoid a serious injury. Looks like he will not be headed towards Tommy John like we've seen both Shane Bieber and Yuri Perez already elect to be headed for. So that is good news for the Houston Astros. And in the wake of that, they have called up their top pitching prospect. Spencer Arrighetti has been called up to the bigs. He was their top prospect, their best pitcher from last year. He's going to get a start after Valdez joins a bunch of injured Houston Astros pitchers. Justin Verlander on the IR. Jose Urquidy, Lance McCullers, Luis Garcia, all on the injured list. So dipping into AAA, and Spencer Arrighetti will get his time here as Framber Valdez lands on the IL. He was the Astros minor league pitcher of the year last season. More across the MLB. Taking a look around the MLB now. Dodgers and Yankees, the first two teams to 10 wins on the MLB season. The Braves still picking up where they left off last year. They lead the MLB with 6.9 runs per game. So the offense is still certainly there for the Atlanta Braves, no doubt about that. The Royals are on the MLB's longest winning streak at 5 games here. And the Pittsburgh Pirates, despite a tough loss yesterday, still sit in the driver's seat of the NL Central. In fact, Pittsburgh, after blowing a game yesterday to Detroit, they started booing the hometown kid, David Bednar, who has spent the last 3 seasons in Pittsburgh, really been a fan favorite, as again, from the area, he's an all-star as well, but after blowing a save, which was his third blown save in four chances yesterday, he started hearing some boos from the Pittsburgh Pirates faithful. He was hearing it from the fans. And Rowdy Tellez, his teammate, shout out Rowdy Tellez, came to his aid after reporters in the locker room were trying to ask David Bednar kind of how he felt about getting booed in Pittsburgh from his hometown fans. And Rowdy Tellez stepped in before Bednar could really answer, and he said, "This is the pride of Pittsburgh. To everybody, we don't do that here. What happened today is, I think, unacceptable. We are a group in Pittsburgh. We as a group in Pittsburgh have to be better. He's an all-star for a reason. We just have to be better." So Rowdy Tellez, teammate of the year so far, comes to the aid of his teammate, of his closer, David Bednar, and says, "Hey, listen, he's still an ace. He's still an all-star. It's just one blown save, although he has blown three out of his four chances so far this season." And yet Pittsburgh still looking solid, despite their all-star closer off to a rocky start. I mentioned the Yankees. Yankees off to a great start as well. They've been playing the Miami Marlins this week. And whoever did this graphic for the Yankees-Marlins game is just wrong, man. Just wrong. So for that first game, that first Yankees-Marlins game of the series earlier this week on Monday, the broadcast, once Giancarlo Stanton came up to bat, had a graphic that said home run leaders since 2017. Giancarlo Stanton had 59 in that 2017 season. That is the most for any player since then. Like, Jazz Chisholm has 55 home runs in that period. Brian Anderson had 57 home runs since that period. Jorge Soler, 49. Keep in mind, Giancarlo Stanton hasn't played for Miami for seven seasons. And yet, since 2017, when he was last there, he still has the most home runs for that franchise. That's pretty crazy, but also, you didn't have to do that. That was kind of a stray shot. Like, you didn't need to throw that stray shot on the broadcast at the Miami Marlins. That was kind of wrong, whoever did that, but also a little bit funny. Shifting gears here quick to the NFL. The big news today from the NFL, the Jaguars and pass rusher Josh Allen, not quarterback Josh Allen, Jaguars defensive end, edge rusher, Josh Allen reached an agreement today on a five-year, $150 million contract that includes $88 million guaranteed. The two-time Pro Bowler had originally received the franchise tag from the Jaguars and was set to make $24 million this season if he played on the tender. But the Jaguars worked out a deal for a guy who had a franchise record, 17.5 sacks last season. Now he will be amongst guys like Chris Jones and Nick Bosa as the top paid defenders in the league. So Josh Allen gets himself a fresh contract from the Jacksonville Jaguars. He will not be playing on the franchise tag. Last bit of news here. As we knew, the Philadelphia Eagles were going to open the season in South America for their season opener on Peacock on Sao Paulo, Brazil, on Friday, September 6th. We did not know who their opponent would be. We now know that it'll be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Philadelphia Eagles on Friday, September 6th to open the season in Brazil. That game will be exclusively on Peacock. With that being said, I'm going to hit a break here, going to come back, and we're going to wrap up the show with the bold takes, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Big Ticket on 101.1 FM and AM 1540.
Looking to grow your business or expand your network? If so, the Southern Rhode Island Chamber of Commerce is the place for you. We are a member-based organization whose purpose is to grow businesses within our community. Located in Wakefield, Rhode Island, we offer a range of services such as continuing education, networking opportunities, state and local advocacy, referrals, and so much more. Membership is only $285 annually, and we offer flexible payment plans that can fit any budget. To learn more, visit our website at srichamber.com. We look forward to working with you.
Hi, this is Stephanie from Coastal Foot and Ankle. Dr. Jonathan Saborn is a local foot and ankle specialist with offices in Middletown and Fall River. We are dedicated to caring for all of your foot and ankle issues. Dr. Saborn will diagnose and treat conditions of the foot or ankle, whether it's hammer toes, ingrown toenails, bunions, we've got you covered. Dr. Saborn is a board-certified podiatric surgeon who is a leader in foot and ankle surgery, not only on Aquidneck Island, but throughout Rhode Island and Massachusetts. He does it all with the assistance from his knowledgeable and friendly staff. Give us a call today to schedule an appointment to address your foot health issues. We want our patients to feel heard, cared for, and in good health. Coastal Foot and Ankle will treat you like family because that's what you are, part of the Coastal Foot and Ankle family. Call our locally owned and operated podiatric medical facility located at 850 Aquinic Avenue in the back of the Middletown Commons Plaza, or give us a call to schedule an appointment at 849-2157 and be part of the Coastal Foot and Ankle family.
Looking for a great career? People's Credit Union is currently hiring. We have open positions available at our headquarters in Middletown and in many branch locations. Be part of a credit union that has been working hard for 100 years to make our community a better place for our members, our neighbors, and our employees. If you want to join a great team with excellent benefits, including 401k, life insurance, and vacation, visit our careers page at peoplecu.com/careers. People's Credit Union. You belong here. People's Credit Union is an equal opportunity employer.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be a sign that your digestive system isn't working at its best? Taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil fiber powders help promote your daily digestive health using a plant-based fiber called psyllium. The gelling action of this special fiber traps and removes waste so you can feel lighter and more energetic. Metamucil, promoting digestive health for a better you. Learn more at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hi, I'm Ray Brown, inviting you to join me for a fun show called Talkin' Birds every Saturday morning from 7:30 to 8 here on 1540 AM WADK.
All right, back here on the Big Ticket, our final segment. So it's time for the Bold Takes, where I take a player, a team, and a stance. My first player tonight is Pedro Martinez, one of my all-time favorite athletes ever. He kind of weighed in on what's going on with all these injuries to pitchers. And I talked about yesterday Garrett Cole weighing in on this, Justin Verlander as well. And Pedro took to Twitter. He said, "When we see so many up-and-coming MLB pitchers with fewer than 200 innings in the minors, lots of muscle mass, underworked baby ligaments, and a team demanding max velocity on everything they throw, we're seeing the perfect lethal combination for an arm injury. The analytics department has forced the young kids by pressuring them to have revolution velocity and spin rate. That's too much for baby ligaments. When in the minors, I focused on working my ligaments. I never lifted heavy weights. Time has changed, and so has training. But if you want to become a pitcher, you should strive to learn the feel for pitching and the knowledge of what to do with the ball rather than throwing hard." I completely agree with Pedro. When you got these kids who aren't fully grown into their bodies trying to throw as hard as they can rather than, like what he's saying, focusing on gaining flexibility, you know, instead rather than muscle mass, gaining flexibility, working on the right mechanics, knowing what to do, how to pitch, what pitches to throw in this spot, where to locate the ball, what you want to do on an 0-2 count, what you want to do on a 1-2 count, things like that. Learning the ins and outs of the game rather than just muscle mass, lifting weights, push-ups all the time, throwing as hard as you can. It doesn't work. And this is coming from, by the way, this is coming from who I think to be one of the greatest power pitchers in the game of baseball ever. Pedro Martinez is a strikeout king. This is a guy who had over 200 strikeouts a year many times throughout his career. And he's saying this. So I do agree with Pedro and Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole in that there's too much emphasis of how hard can you throw? What is your fastball peak at? That's what we're looking at. Rather than, what do your mechanics look like? What's your flexibility look like? You know, what's your baseball IQ look like? Things like that. So I agree with Pedro, and I feel like MLB and, you know, even at the lower levels, college, high school, AAU coaches, need to be listening to these guys that have done it for years, have been through the system, have been through the process like Pedro and Verlander. They know firsthand what it's like and how to overcome those injuries and how to avoid those injuries in longevity. So more people need to take stock into what these guys that have actually gone through a full MLB career are saying, because they're the ones who have done it. They're the ones who know firsthand. I appreciate Pedro. And again, a legend, one of my all-time favorite athletes, Pedro Martinez, my first player tonight. My second player tonight is Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, he's not even in the NFL yet, and I already have one critique for him. He is way too concerned about what people in the media say about him. He takes that stuff way too seriously. If there's going to be one detriment to him that I can already find without even watching film, it's that, dude, just who cares what some guy sitting in front of a camera on some podcast or whatever is saying about you? Why do you even care? Caleb Williams responded to ESPN analyst Greg McElroy for saying he has never experienced adversity before. Greg McElroy, his direct quote was, his one concern, Caleb Williams has never experienced adversity. I do wonder, is there a sense of entitlement? Is there the chip on his shoulder that's going to keep him going 10 to 12 years down the road the way it does Patrick Mahomes? To which Caleb Williams replied, adversity, with the definition of adversity. He replied with the definition of adversity, and it said, a state or instance of serious or continued difficulty or misfortune. Then he went on to say, year one, didn't start freshman year. Year two, popped hammy during championship game, first quarter. Lost because of my hammy. He's basically blaming that loss, which, by the way, he finished that game. He finished that game. That game was against Utah, the 11th-ranked Utah at the time, where they lost 47-24. And he's basically saying, he played that whole game, did hurt his hammy, but he also did play in the next game, which was the Cotton Bowl, which they also lost. But he's basically saying, yeah, I finished that game, but the reason we lost is because of my hamstring. So making an excuse for a loss that was like 2 years ago, not a good look. Not a good look. And by the way, again, they lost that game by 47-24, so that was never close. And then he said, finally, year three, went 7-5 in my last year of college ball. I don't know how that's displaying that you overcame adversity by saying you went 7-5 in your final season of college ball. I don't understand how that's overcoming adversity. And then back to year one, where he said he didn't start his freshman year. Yeah, like no quarterback ever starts there. Like you very rarely see true freshmen in college football start their very first year. Like Archie Manning didn't even do it. And he's one of the top prospects ever to come out of high school. So all in all, like, I don't know if you really proved your point here, man. I don't know that you proved that you have ever overcome adversity. And I don't necessarily agree with ESPN's Greg McElroy in saying that I'm nervous because he's never shown he can overcome adversity. But at the same time, Caleb Williams' retort and his reply to Greg McElroy, yeah, you didn't really prove your point, man. Because if you're saying you overcame adversity because you didn't start freshman year, well, yeah, nobody really does. Then two, you overcame adversity because you popped your hammy in that Pac-12 championship game in the first quarter. But the injury wasn't bad enough for you to come out of that game. You still played that whole entire game. So I'm not really calling that adversity. And oh, by the way, you still lost by 20-plus points, so it was never really a close game. And then finally, claiming that you overcame adversity because you went 7-5 in your final season, that just kind of shows that your team sucked. That doesn't show you overcame adversity. So Caleb Williams, man, one, I'd say stop listening to people online. That's number one, because there's going to be a ton of bad stuff to come out about you in the next few weeks here. That's just the nature of the NFL. And then number two, you didn't really like prove any point. You didn't prove Greg McElroy wrong at all with this tweet back. You were better off just not replying to it. So Caleb Williams, you need some lessons before you get into the NFL. Caleb Williams, my second player tonight. My third player tonight is Terrell Suggs. Terrell Suggs, was arrested Tuesday stemming from a March incident in which he allegedly flashed a gun and threatened to kill a man during an argument at a Scottsdale Starbucks. Yep, you heard this correctly. According to court documents, the altercation happened at a drive-thru at a coffee shop at Starbucks at around 12:30 p.m. on March 10th. In the documents, officials say Suggs had driven past the ordering speaker of the drive-thru, and when he put his Range Rover in reverse to remedy the situation, he bumped into the car behind him, essentially. So he drove past the speaker at this fast food restaurant, realized it, threw the car in reverse. While he was throwing his car in reverse, he hit another car. So there was no damage for either one of these cars, but the two men in the car, Terrell Suggs and this other guy, apparently got into a verbal altercation in which Terrell Suggs had some harsh words to say, I'd say, on top of saying he was going to kill him. He called him many other words that I just can't say on radio. And then when Terrell Suggs pulled out to leave, he apparently flashed a handgun. He didn't wave it, but he flashed it and then said that he would kill the man. He threatened to kill him while he had the handgun in his hand while leaving this Starbucks. This was all over coffee. It's all over coffee. And on top of that, it's at 12:30 past noon during the day. So it's not like it was at like 6 a.m. and you can make the case like, oh, you know, he's just not a morning person. You know, he just hadn't had his coffee yet. He was just in a grumpy mood because he hadn't had his coffee yet. Dude, it was 12:30. That's lunchtime, man. You should have had your coffee hours ago. And then on top of that, like, Terrell Suggs, you're the one that was in the wrong. I never in my life have I been going to a drive-thru and driven right past the little speaker that you're supposed to tell your order into. Like, I've never once done that. They're pretty well labeled. I've never gone to a drive-thru and accidentally missed where I was supposed to talk in and tell the people the order. That has never happened personally to me. Happened to him, and when he threw it in reverse, probably carelessly, he hit another car. What am I missing here, Terrell Suggs? Like, this all seems like your fault. All of this seems like your fault. And then he goes on to threaten to kill this guy because they got into a little bit of a verbal altercation. All in all, man, like, this is all over coffee? Are we serious here? Terrell Suggs, man, he still very clearly has a little bit of an anger issue. He always did during his playing days. But still does, very clearly. So Terrell Suggs, my third player tonight. My fourth player tonight is Dallas Mavericks fans, because this is an all-timer. This really is an all-timer. A Dallas Mavericks fan was trending on Twitter when talking about the Mavericks, who have been playing great basketball. Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic playing really, really well together. And this Mavericks fan who went viral had a suggestion, a thought, an idea, I'll call it. He said, here's the post. He said, is it legal for players to kiss as a strategy? Let's say that it's the finals, game 7 in crunch time. If Luka Doncic starts kissing Kyrie Irving, not a single defender will be watching the ball, leaving Dante Exum open for an easy 3. Would Luka and Kyrie be called for a tech, or would the points count? This one has me stumped too. I gotta be honest with you. I don't know the answer to this one. I love the outside thinking here, like thinking outside the box. He's saying, like, if hypothetically in a crunch time situation, big time situation, Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving just started making out on the court, everyone would be so shocked by this and would be watching that. And meanwhile, they could hit a wide open teammate for an easy couple of points. I mean, it's a very bold strategy. But again, like, I don't know. Could you call a tech? Could you call a technical foul with like two teammates as a distraction, as a diversion, just started like making out on the court? I don't know. I mean, NBA referees will call a foul on anything, so I wouldn't put it past them. But Mavericks fans, thinking outside the box, they know it's going to be a tough Western Conference playoff. So a win's a win. Any way you can get it. I don't know if they'll actually use this strategy. Doesn't seem like something Jason Kidd would throw in the playbook. But it's outside thinking. And I mean, it is fair that if that did actually happen on an NBA court, everybody would just be watching that. Like, teammates would be wide open. That is true. That is true. I will give them that, because if that happened on an NBA court, the opponents, whoever they are playing, are just going to be watching that. They're going to be so shocked by that they'll be forced to watch that. And meanwhile, you could have a wide open player wide open for a three. So, I mean, it's crazy thinking, but it's also, it brings up questions like, would it be a technical foul? I don't know. I don't know. It would be a very easy way to get some points, but I mean, it'll never happen, obviously. But the Mavericks fans, thinking outside the box. I love it. Mavericks fans, my fourth player tonight. My fifth player tonight is Cam Newton. Former Panthers quarterback Cam Newton said on his podcast that the Atlanta Falcons could have had him, Mike Vick, and Justin Fields for the same amount as Kirk Cousins' contract. Yeah, no duh, because about half out of those three are actually wanted as NFL quarterbacks. Like, Justin Fields was barely even wanted in the offseason market. He became a backup over there in Pittsburgh. And then Mike Vick and Cam Newton, they can't get jobs anymore in the NFL. So, yeah, to say that those three would come at a cheaper price than Kirk Cousins overall, yeah, no duh. Because nobody wants any of them. That's pretty self-explanatory. Pretty stupid comment. Cam Newton, my fifth player tonight. My sixth player tonight is Malik Cunningham. Obviously now with the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are now trying to figure out whether they want Malik Cunningham to play quarterback or play wide receiver. John Harbaugh commented and he said, "We're going to take a look at him and see how he does. He's definitely developed as a quarterback. He's also developed into a wide receiver. But he's a good athlete. He's a good person. He's a competitive guy, and he wants to do well." I'm always rooting for Malik Cunningham. I wish the Patriots had hung on to him. Whichever position he does play, he is an outstanding athlete. I don't think anybody can argue that. So Malik Cunningham, I'm rooting for you. And then my final player tonight is just the newest Celtics hater. Keep him coming. Shaquille O'Neal on his podcast, The Big Pod with Shaq, he said that the Celtics are the most overrated team in the NBA. Whatever. Keep them coming. The Celtics haters, keep them coming. Shaquille O'Neal, just the most recent of them. Shaq, my final player tonight. All right, my teams tonight. I have a three-team parlay for you. First, I'm going to go with the Mavericks tonight on the road in Miami. I'm taking the Mavs at -1.5 on ESPN tonight. This is a classic matchup of a solid defensive team in the Miami Heat and a great offensive team in the Dallas Mavericks. I'm going to go with the offensive team. Mavericks have been playing good ball. I'm going to go Mavs tonight. -1.5. Later on tonight, that game that Anthony Edwards and Nikola Jokic were asked to comment on, the late game on ESPN from Denver, the Nuggets welcoming in the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm going to take the Nuggets in this one, -5.5. I stand by my original take that I still believe Denver is the top team in the West. And on top of that, the Timberwolves are in a back-to-back without Karl Anthony Towns tonight on ESPN. So I'm going to go with the Nuggets, -5.5. And then a little baseball hit for you here. I got my ace of the day. I'm doing my ace of the day. I'm taking the Cleveland Guardians. I mentioned them yesterday on the show. A great staff, even without Shane Bieber. And who's going to take over as their ace? Well, I think it could be Tanner Bibby. Tanner Bibby on the mound tonight, going up against the White Sox. Give me the Guardians tonight at -250. I think that's a lock. Tanner Bibby, my ace of the day. To lock that parlay in, I'm taking the Dallas Mavericks at -1.5, the Denver Nuggets at -5.5, and the Cleveland Guardians at -250. Lock that parlay in. Get yourself some walking around money and support those local businesses. All right, my stance tonight, the Masters, right around the corner. Going to get going tomorrow. Got to love it. And one thing about the Masters over in Augusta that I love is that while every team has changed with the times and you go to Fenway and have to buy like a $15 beer, it's crazy expensive, the Masters has not. And I love it. They have not changed with the times. In fact, For just $66, you could buy one of every concession item at the Masters. We talked about this last year, how everything is really cheap once you get to Augusta. They make it easy for their fans, like a chicken salad on honeyweed bread is $3. Classic chicken sandwich, $3. Egg salad sandwich, $1.50. For breakfast, you can get a breakfast sandwich for $3. A blueberry muffin for $1.50. For a domestic beer, it's $5. That's crazy. Like, again, go up to Fenway and see how much a beer is, and then you can come back to me. For, like, snacks, a bag of chips is $1.50. So while everybody else has just hiked up prices all across these professional sports venues, the Masters has not changed despite their long and illustrious history. They have not changed at all, and I love it. I love it. Never change Augusta, never change Masters. I love this time of year, man. I obviously, if you listen to this show, you know I don't pay too much attention to golf, but anytime the Masters roll around, man, you got to love it. You got to watch that. John Rahm did his championship dinner last night. It looked like great food as the winner from last year gets to choose what the meal is for the dinner the next year. And, of course, that was John Rahm. So that was pretty cool to see. But the Masters never change. A very unique and fun sporting event. One of the best, no doubt about it. My final stance tonight is we're in a new era in New England. Apparently, Gerard Mayo continues to make changes throughout the Patriots facility, and one of the changes was noteworthy as Jabril Peppers had noticed that the "do your job" signs, the famous quote from Bill Belichick, are no longer visible around the building. He said, "If they are there, they definitely aren't in the same spots because I haven't seen them." That was Jabril Peppers making that comment, but Gerard Mayo, changing the times in New England, a new era in New England. I'll miss that old slogan. I love that old Bill Belichick slogan. Just do your job, man. Do your job. That's all we're asking you to do. You have one job. Just go out there and do it. We win as a team. I love that slogan. And of course, I will miss Belichick. You know, if you listen to the show, I was in the camp. I didn't want him to necessarily leave. But again, we're embracing this new time here in New England under Gerard Mayo. We're giving him a chance with this new regime. And just fingers crossed, hoping for the best as draft day right around the corner, about 2 weeks away. With that being said, that's going to do it for me here in the studio. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time as always. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. You have been listening to The Big Ticket with Teddy Horn on 101.1 FM, AM 1540, and WEDK.com. Have yourself a phenomenal night.
WADK Newport, powered by VD Volvo Cars and Mercedes-Benz of Tiverton. WADK, the voice of Newport.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Six white former Mississippi police officers who pleaded guilty to federal felony charges for the torture and abuse of two black men were sentenced on state charges today.
Six former law enforcement officers in Mississippi sentenced to 10, 15, or 20 years in prison, respectively.